Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would hear your word, and it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated, and if you haven't already, kids, if you'd like, you can meet your teachers outside the back door for a special program if you would like. It's almost like it was done on purpose. If you listen carefully in our services, you will usually notice that most or all of our readings on any given Sunday tie together around a specific topic or event or theme. Some weeks, perhaps it's a little bit more obvious than other, but today was definitely done on purpose. And you'll notice that specifically our first lesson, our psalm, and our second lesson all center around the theme of generosity. Now, the Bible makes clear that generosity is displayed in a variety of ways. As it's often been summarized, generosity through time, talents, and treasure. And all are important, and every one of us is called to be generous with all of them. And this morning, the reading centers specifically around generosity with our finances, with our treasure, generously giving to help those in need. Now, I want to be clear at the beginning, these passages are not about what's called tithing. Tithing is the explicit teaching of the Bible that all followers of Jesus are to give at a bare minimum 10% of our income back to the Lord and His church. Tithing, which is 10%, tithing is the basic minimum standard of Christian giving. Generosity really doesn't begin until after that, until after tithing. If we're not being faithful with the minimum, what we do give probably shouldn't be considered generosity. Generosity means going above and beyond. So when we read today about biblical generosity, it's helpful to realize that this is assuming that we're being faithful and sacrificial already. And then we have this invitation and call to be generous people. So if you would, turn in your bulletin to the sermon section. I'm going to have you bounce around a little bit in the readings themselves, but you'll also notice, and I know that this is some of you, this is your love language, there are fill-ins that you can get out a pen and have the joy of writing in that blank the word that will go along. So four things that we see in our readings today concerning generosity. So the first, your first fill-in, a heart for generosity. Heart for generosity. So Deuteronomy 15, verse 7, which was read today, it's in the first reading, says this: "If among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Take care lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart, and you say, 'The seventh year, the year of release is near,' and your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry to the Lord against you, and you be guilty of sin. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him." Now, immediately before this reading in Deuteronomy 15, there is a practice set out in ancient Israel in which all loans that are given are forgiven every seventh year. Not 7 years from the time the loan is given, but for the whole nation, every seventh year, all the loans that were done within those last 7 years would be forgiven. They'd be wiped clean. So, if someone was in need in the sixth year, and you loaned them what they needed, you could be basically assured that you were not going to get the money or the resources back. And so God, knowing our hearts, specifically tells his people to give to those in need, regardless of whether or not we're going to get anything back. Do not look grudgingly on those in need, but give freely to help those that we can. Just this past week, God actually does this to me on a fairly regular basis, but just this past week, while I was preparing this sermon, I discovered that there was a man that I knew from a previous church who was in need. He needs money for a legitimate medical situation that's come up that carries with it an ongoing month after month expense for a while. This man named Rudy is chronically poor and just has not been willing or able to do what's needed when good and lasting help has been offered to him. Now, he has big and very painful things in his past, which make this very difficult, but I know firsthand that he is not doing his part to change his situation. So when I heard about his need, my first thought was exactly what God tells us not to do in this passage, good preacher that I am. I looked grudgingly on him for the idea that he needs help again. And promptly my conscience smote me, and the Holy Spirit convicted me and pointed out that I was literally working on this sermon, and my heart was not generous. And so I asked for God's forgiveness, and I gave towards his genuine medical need. How easy it is for us to look down on others who don't have what we have or who don't do what we think they need to do. And there is good work that needs to be done, helping people in lasting ways. And God calls his people to give generously to those who are in need, to give with a good and godly heart, a heart of love and care for others, not grudgingly looking down on them for not doing what you want or not being able to pay you back. Give generously with a pure heart, a heart for generosity. Second, in our readings we see that we are blessed for generosity. That's your second fill-in, blessed for generosity. Deuteronomy 15:10, read today, says, "You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake." Or, to use the words from Psalm 119, read today, "The godly person has distributed freely. He's given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor." Generosity in the right way actually brings blessing from God and often gives us a good name in the world. God specifically says that he will bless us when we are generous to others. We should not give in order to get. But we can also acknowledge that God does say that he will bless his people when we give generously. But for most of us, our tendency, whether we act on this or not, our tendency at least is to think that we just don't have enough to be generous. We think, if I had more, then I'd tithe or then I'd be generous. If the kids were out of the house or college were paid off or whatever, then I'd be generous. Or if I won the lottery, I'd give most of it away. Nope. If we're not faithful with what we have now, we will probably not be faithful if we have more. So just to give you a concrete example with some real numbers. So people who... when people don't, and I'm specifically talking about tithing, that specific thing, if people don't tithe when they make, just pick a nice round number, when they make $50,000, they don't give $5,000 of that, which is 10%, because they feel like that's just too much. If that's the way we feel, we certainly wouldn't tithe if we made $500,000, which would mean giving 50, because we think that's way too much. If we're not faithful now, if we're not generous now, then we have no reason to believe that we'd be faithful if we had more. And if we're not faithful with what we have now, why would we expect God to entrust us with more? In another part of the Bible, specifically again talking about tithing, God says, "Test me in this. Give the whole tithe and see the blessing that I will pour down on you from heaven." And those who do give faithfully, who are generous, even above and beyond the basics, know this to be true. God does, in fact, bless his people when we are faithful and generous. Amen. And so there is a blessing from God for generosity. Third, this is moving into the New Testament here, but reliance on generosity. Reliance on generosity. So in our New Testament reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13 says, Paul writes, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need." When we are generous, we get the privilege of helping others who are in need. And when we receive others' generosity, we are blessed and so are they. There's a reciprocal nature to this. We all get to give and we all get to receive. Now, true, some really don't need to receive financially, but need to receive with thanksgiving other forms of generosity from others. We are generous with others who are in need, and we receive their generosity when we are in need. This is one of the many, many reasons that faithfully participating in person in the same church week in and week out is so important. We cannot live out this call to reciprocal generosity unless we're committed to the church together. You cannot do this online. We are actually supposed to allow ourselves to be in places of vulnerability and risk so that we rely on God to provide through His church. And we are so generous that we rely on others in the church to be generous with us. And so we both get to give and to receive. There's a reliance on generosity. And fourth, and finally, saving the best for last. This is the piece that makes all the rest matter. Without this, nothing else we've looked at matters at all. The fourth one, we have a model for generosity. Jesus Himself. If this were all ultimately just about being nice to each other, it really doesn't matter. But this generosity of God's people points to and reflects God's amazing generosity to us in Jesus. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich," which is the understatement of the century, "though He was the King of heaven, though He was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich." Our Lord Jesus left the throne of heaven to become poor and humble, to show us God's kingdom, to teach us the truth, to take our sins upon Himself on the cross, and to die in our place, to defeat sin and death, and to rise again victorious on Easter. Jesus, though He was rich, became poor for you and me, so that through His life, and through His death and His resurrection, we might inherit the kingdom of God as His beloved children, to be rich in all the right meanings of that word, to be rich beyond measure. Jesus, in His great love for us, gave up everything for you and for me. He gave up everything so that you and I might receive everything. And since He showed His love for us in that way, we too must show our love in the same way. Verse 8 in that passage says that our generosity is to prove that your love is genuine. To prove that your love is like that of Jesus. To be generous as He is generous. He didn't give of Himself only for people who deserved it. He didn't give of Himself only for people who were kind to Him. He didn't give of Himself only for people who received it well. He gave Himself for sinners like you and me. And our Lord calls us and invites us to show that love for one another. That though He was rich, He became poor for us. That through Him we might become rich, being known and loved and saved by God. And so we have Jesus as our model for generosity. So church, let us be known for our generosity. Not for our big buildings or beautiful worship, but known for following the model of our Lord Jesus in being wildly generous. And may our hearts be right in giving generously. May we experience the blessing from God as we give generously. May we learn the joy and the risk of relying on generosity. And may we always stand in awe and follow after the model of generosity shown to us by Jesus. May we be known for our love for one another, our love for the poor and lonely, and our love for the world around us, all to the honor and glory of Jesus. Amen.